This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for May 20th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the JNS today. The article topics in this podcast are diagnostic and operative techniques and vascular disorders. Rupture of anterior communicating artery aneurysms during computed tomography angiography. Description of the pathway for intraseptal and intraventricular hemorrhage. A report of two cases by Felix Schultz and co-authors. Intraventricular hemorrhage is commonly seen after the rupture of an aneurysm at the anterior communicating artery complex, although the pathway for intraventricular bleeding is not well described. Some authors have suggested the lamina terminalis as an entry point into the ventricular system. However, Yasugil states that direct perforation of the lamina terminalis has not been seen at surgery. He also cites the orbitofrontal cortex as the probable access for blood to the ventricular system. In their own surgical experience, authors of the present study have never seen a lamina terminalis perforated by hemorrhage. On the other hand, retrograde entry of blood into the ventricular system is possible, but an improbable cause of significant intraventricular hemorrhage. The authors analyzed the pathway for intraventricular hemorrhage in two cases of anterior communicating artery aneurysm rebleeding during CT angiography. The initial hemorrhage created a hyperdense ventriculographic image on which subsequent contrast medium ejection could be followed. The contrast medium entered the subarachnoid space of the anterior interhemispheric fissure. It broke through the lamina rostralis, a thin strip of white matter from the most rostral part of the corpus callosum, and went into the septum pellucidum and the frontal horns of the lateral ventricles. Ventricular catheter exchange using a peel-away outer catheter. A technical note by David Anton Omahen and colleagues. Replacement of a blocked ventricular catheter can be difficult, especially in the setting of small or slit ventricles. The authors describe a novel method of ventricular catheter replacement in which they use a peel-away outer sheath. This technique, which does not require patency of the old in situ catheter, has been used with good success by the senior author for several years. The sheath of a 9.5 French St. Jude peel-away catheter with an internal diameter slightly larger than the external diameter of a standard ventricular catheter is passed over the blocked in situ catheter into the ventricle. The blocked catheter is then removed. The peel-away catheter maintains a direct pathway into the ventricle through which a new ventricular catheter can easily be passed. The sheath is then peeled back and removed. Any risks that might be associated with passage of the larger diameter sheath may be offset by the virtual elimination of multiple unsuccessful catheter passages, as can occur, especially in the setting of small ventricles. In summary, the authors present a simple, inexpensive, and effective way to replace a ventricular catheter. The technique may be especially valuable for use in centers without access to other adjuncts, such as frameless stereotaxy. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.